yet don't live it. And you look at him, and you kind of want to look at him like a little side-eyed, you know what I mean? Like, wait a minute. Right? So, what happens is they took it in as knowledge and not as life. And so I'll hope we can get this and keep it as more than that. Amen. I want to just hit a couple of these points. We are talking about contentment. Contentment's easy, isn't it? Being content with what we have. So we're going to be content with going to the moon. We'll never need to go do that again, right? We're not going to want to go put a base on the moon. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Brother Joe walked in, so I thought I would. He's a moon guy. So anyway, we're not content with stuff. Contentment is really actually tough. This is a little bit different than that. We ought to strive in our life. Don't misunderstand. Contentment is really a couple things. Listen, number one was build contentment by rejecting covetousness. Yes, sir. Why don't you take them all back with, see if anybody else, maybe your son needs one. Anybody else? Okay. I think Brandon probably needs one when he comes back in. Covetousness is really this thing is I'm not content with what God's already put in my life. I want what somebody else has. I want their job. I want their role. I want their position. Mostly I want their paycheck, right? And which so I can have the stuff that they have. So contentment, but build contentment by rejecting covetousness. And then A, under that was in our lifestyles and how we live and in our hearts and so forth. And then number two, is that all we got to?
Yes, sir.
Good night. I'm terrible. Whew. That's it, huh? Okay, number two. Well, that was a quick review. Good. Build contentment by remaining content. Like, that's it. That is really it. I didn't make up this. You're like, okay, wow, that was pretty original. Well, because it fits the verse. Hebrews 13:5, and says, and be content with such things as you have. Okay? Okay, look. Do we... you ever had a car that didn't have some of the fancy gadgets, and then you went and rented a car? You rented a car. You're like, ooh, I rented this car that had this deal. You get behind, you set cruise control, and you get behind somebody. And you know, when you hit cruise control, you get something, they're slowing it. You got to hit the brake or turn off the cruise and you wait, and then they go, and then you set it back again. So much work. Anyway, I'm being a little facetious. But I got this rental car, and you set the cruise control, you get in traffic, all of a sudden, the car backs off. And then when they move on, it kicks back in. I'm like, man, I could be even lazier. I need that, right? And then I went and looked at a car, and I thought, the truck I was going to look at to get, it was like $10,000 more to get that. And I thought, I don't need that, right? So would I like it? Yeah, but we don't. Here's the thing, and I'm using that just to kind of get this idea. Sometimes we just have what God's given us, right? And that's okay. And maybe in the future we'll have something else, but be content with what we have. Not disappointed. I wish God would have gave me more. Well, He didn't. Is it okay to have a desire for more? Yeah. But being content is really this thing about being satisfied. Now, it sounds too simple and be content, right? But the truth is simply this. Contentment is a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice to be, really is this. To be content means to be possessed of unfailing strength. It truly is to be satisfied. Right? I mean, that's how we eat, isn't it? We eat to contentment. Okay, that's why we have to go on diets, because we don't eat to contentment, right? You know what? Here's what happens. Let me just kind of get this. When we When we don't, or we, let me say this, when we eat past contentment so often, you know what we've done? We've shifted contentment. So now I'm not content until it hurts. Until it hurts. By the way, I'm not talking about gluttony. Oh, just gluttony is kind of a, I don't want to get into that too much, but gluttony is an interesting word. It's not as clear cut. Like, it's just people eat too much. We eat too much. It's really, I think this really gets to where what we talk about gluttony a lot is this thing of being content and this concept of I want more and more and more. I want to eat until I don't feel like sticking anything else in my gut because it hurts. Right? Okay, now let's shift from that a little bit because I don't really like talking about food too much because hopefully we're going to eat some cake later. And so I don't want to, anyway. So here's what I want us to think. You know, like, you just preach on things that, you know, I don't want to get to meddling in my own. Anyway, so let's shift to this contentment to our daily life. Okay? It's really this. Do I want that really fancy cruise control in my vehicle? I do. You know what I also wanted? I wanted a push button start so I didn't have to take my key out of my pocket and put it in ignition. So much work. I had a car that just get in. I didn't have to reach in my pocket, take my key out, put it in, and turn it. Man, it's so, who does that? Man, this is the 21st century. Well, me. Yeah, me now. That is what I'm doing. And because, again, that next package was so much. And I thought, hey, but listen, if somebody else, by the way, you're sitting here thinking, my car does that. Hey, amen. Amen. We don't need to feel bad because God's given us something. Right? That's, don't miss this, man. This isn't about feeling bad because God's given you something or somebody. Well, you shouldn't have that. Pastor said we should be pedaling our car still. You know what I mean? No. What I'm saying is it's okay to say, yeah, I'd like those things, but it's probably not really what I should have in my budget right now or something. Or God just not allowed me to have that. Be content with what you have. Discontentment will drive us to do for really can go, stupid decisions because it's a choice. If I'm going to, I really want, and now this, I'm using this illustration because it's kind of dumb, but there's things, you know, I so badly want the push button thing, I'm going to work more hours. Because I'm going to need, my payment's going to be, $100 more a month, so I just need to, so because my payment would be $100 more a month, I need to work extra hours, and so now I'm going to work like 10 extra hours a week. Well, that doesn't really work out to $100. Well, just in case now. Next thing we know, our discontentment. By the way, remember, it's a choice. By me not having contentment, now what I'm doing is I'm driving myself, I've made a choice to go into something else so that I can have the things that I want that God didn't give me. And we, for the men that were just at the men's meeting, but the rest of y'all know this verse because we dealt with it some time back, there in Haggai, is we keep grabbing all that. I'm going to go get some more, put it in my bag with holes. And no matter how, God doesn't bless discontentment. Will God give you a push button start on your vehicle? Absolutely he will. Maybe. Maybe my last vehicle was a push button start. Now I love that. I didn't really like the car though, so I switched. But God will give us some of those things. God wants to bless. Come on, man. God wants to bless us. He does. God wants to bless us. It's okay that God does want to bless you with some nice things and a nice life and some comforts. He wants to bless you with good health. God wants to bless your life. Good friends, good relationship. God does want to bless. Don't, we ought not feel bad about getting blessed. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this thing of choice. But if God doesn't give me what I want, right? I have to make then the choice to be, I'm going to be, this word really what contented me, I'm going to be satisfied with what God has given me. And that's really the case. And so God wants us to find, here it is, God wants us to find our spot of, what's this word, gratitude in Him and what He has given us for what He's done. I can't believe God won't give me the push button start. So, and I've told you all this story before, probably. I'm sure I have, and I'm going to say it again because it fits here. When we started, not right when we started, when we started deputation as missionaries, we had a Ford Taurus wagon. And, you know, my family of eight fitting in a Ford Taurus wagon. We had three sitting in the jump seat in the back. No seat belts, you know. And if there's no seat belts, we don't have to have them, right? Wrong. We got a ticket. Told my girls, sit down. Don't stand up. And, you know, they're like moving around like they got up and we got a ticket. Really? I thought, or maybe I got a warning. I can't remember. So, anyway, we got, but, you know, I told my family, I said, hey, this is what God's given us. It's what we already have. We're just going to be thankful for God. It was hard to be thankful for God. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes it's hard to be, to have gratitude towards the Lord with what He's given you. You know, we had four fans coming out of the cigarette lighter. We had wires with one of these split adapters. We had fans here, and then they went to the back and the fans there, and it's hot. If I'd have had a little bit more smarts, I'd have just, let's start with putting some tint on the windows. Wouldn't have got that ticket. And also it would cut down. And so, but you know, I told my family and I tried, you know, I wanted to listen, this is what God's given us. So we got back in our church. The pastor says, you need to get an RV. I'm like, man, I can't get, anyway, God gave us an RV. And when I'd go to churches and churches would be like, wow, pastor would be like, wow, that's pretty nice. I'm like, oh man, I'm in here asking for money. And they're talking about, man, I wish I had something like this. And I didn't know how to act. Right? And so sometimes God can bless us so well that we feel uncomfortable with what God's blessed us with. Can I tell you that's not the right spirit? You know what God wants to do for you? He wants to generate that spirit of gratitude for what God's done. Not, well, I started with that RV. I went up and I thought, man, I made a grave mistake. I'm going to extend my deputation time because these pastors are going to think I'm living in the lap of luxury. And I felt like I was in the lap. I was so thankful to God. I was overwhelmed. I can't remember driving this thing. I'm like, I cannot believe this is what my family is traveling. Man, it was a blessing. But then I thought, oh, man, I made a mistake. You see how that works? And finally, I just said, you know what? I'm just gonna praise God anyway. And when I did, God blessed it. And, you know, and pastor, you know, some of y'all know the story. Pastors would say, and I said, isn't God good? And they'd say, yeah, He is. And they agreed with me. I thought, okay, God wants to drive. He wants to get to us this spirit, this find our place of gratitude. If all I have is a key start ignition, thank you, Lord, that I got that. Because some people are sitting on the side of the road. Some people don't have a vehicle, and they'd like to have one. And it's not just comparison, but God, thank you for what you have given me. That's this thing of contentment. It's really this. He desires that we would be overwhelmed by His gift of salvation and thankfulness for what He's done for us. That's really what God's trying to get in us, is this gratitude and thankfulness for what He's done. He wants us to find that position in our hearts and then be satisfied in that place. So, we could kind of feel like, tell me if you understand, we can feel like if I get satisfied, I'll not strive for anything else. Right? We think that. Man, you got to have the little drive, right? Especially if we're talking about in employment and job. Like somebody's like, yeah, I'm just satisfied with being the fry cook. We'd say something's probably, I mean, that was an entry job for a, I think you have to be maybe 17 to be a fry cook. I think the younger ones, they can't work with the grease, right? So you got to grow up enough, like 17, you know, whatever, 16, 17 to be a fry cook. Like, man, I can't wait till one day I can be a fry cook, right? If that's your only, but we can start, of course, it could go up from there, and we could start thinking, if I get satisfied, there's no more drive in me. Right? So I want to kind of fight so we can get concerned about that. We've got to have this drive. I got to keep pressing. God wants us to find that position and be satisfied with the place that He's given us and what is in our life. So I want to talk about not just employment and all this kind of, I use that as in vehicles and that. I want us to think about just our relationship with Him. Okay? The Apostle Paul suffered many losses. Right? The Apostle Paul suffered many losses as he preached the gospel. Yet what he learned that what it meant to be content with whatever God had provided at the moment. Right? So somebody read for us there, Philippians 4:11. Okay, so our discontentment often shows itself, you ready for this? Shows itself in credit card debt. Discontentment represents itself in credit card debt as people charge their way into what they believe will bring them happiness. I'll tell you what doesn't bring you happiness is a credit card bill. And then you got $10,000 in credit card debt, and you're thinking, "Where's my stuff? Yeah. I probably ate it. I did it. It's gone. And now for that moment of happiness, I have years of regret. Right? I'm not going to ask you if you've ever been there, but I've been there." Found myself there, and I'm telling you, the getting out of it was not as fun as getting into it. The getting into it was pretty quick. Man, so quick. And can I tell you probably, and maybe if you've served a lot here, many of you have been there, if I could give you all, I promise you, I could give you very, very valid reasons that I could argue why I needed to do that. For me, ministry stuff, and I can make it sound very good why I got into that, right? But no matter what, why we got there, getting out, it seems. But sometimes what we find ourselves is that we're looking for something. We're really it's a demonstration of our discontentment. And thought we'd bring in the long term. However, it only brings them bondage, right? So I want to say this just for a moment here. There's a balance here. There's a balance, okay? We could get into this thing that says, you know, there's a verse that talks about this bondage. Nobody should borrow anything. You get some of these Christian counselors, you should never borrow any money for anything. If you can't pay cash, don't get it. And that's the person that waits 30 years to save up money to buy a house. And by the time they get to the end of those 30 years, the house costs five times what they could have bought it before. So there's some foolishness in some of that stuff that says, I'm not going to. Now, if a person says, I just don't believe I need that. Okay, rent a house. I don't think there's anything ungodly with doing that. You know, that's throwing money away. Well, maybe it's living within your means. I think that's okay. But if somebody gets a mortgage on a house, our society actually rewards mortgages, and you can get other discounts, and it becomes something that's a little more manageable and this kind of thing. What I mean by that is, you know, tax deductions, different things, but whatever. So we could do that, and somebody says, okay, that's okay, but getting a loan for a car, that's not okay. And what we start doing is we start making a list. What's right and what's not right. We make a list. Hey, by the way, let me say this right here very clearly. If you make a list for you, amen. Make that list for you. As for me and my house, I'm not going to do this. Amen. I think that's fine if you want to set some boundaries. I think it is good. Set some boundaries, right? We're only going to go out to eat once a week. Or I'm only going to, you know, do this. Or you ought to do that. That's fine. But don't set boundaries what you think everyone else ought to do. Right? Don't set boundaries. And I preached on this before, but we talk about we should never take loans except for in the Old Testament where we also find that thing about not becoming a debtor. We find all the time how they were to deal with money that was borrowed. So it wasn't we could sometimes think God is against it. No, because he also gave illustration to the Jewish people on how they're supposed to handle that, both between the brethren and between those outside of Israel. So this wasn't something, don't miss that. There's a balance. Okay? There's a balance. But deep credit card debt probably isn't in that balance, right? So God challenges us to be content with what He's already given us. And so we miss out on such great opportunities in our life when we become discontent. So there's two very good reasons why a Christian can always be content. A, because God has provided in the past. God's provided in the past. Sometimes we worry about tomorrow's problems. You ever done that? Just me? Okay. Worry about tomorrow's problems. But when we look back, we're reminded that God has always provided for us in the past. Amen. So somebody read for us Psalm 37:25.
I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Yeah, God takes it. So if you make, I want you to think about this. Our perspective gets messed up. Right? Our perspective gets messed up. It's easy. It's easy in our world. You go down the road of billboards to tell you why your life is a mess and you need to have their stuff so you can be as awesome as everyone else. Every commercial. I took a course when I was in Bible college, and it was on persuasion and how advertisers, it was so fascinating. Advertisers look, you know, you got this seductively dressed woman sitting there like smoking a cigarette, you know, like Marlboro. Aren't you a Marlboro? You know, don't you want to be a Marlboro? You know, you're like, what? How does that? Or you'll see these people drinking alcohol. They're all like, yeah, all these slim, fit people having a good time, young, you know, they're all having a good time. No, you go over there to the bar, it's a bunch of dudes. Right? They're, you know, sloppy and they're just like, advertising says, you know, the reason you're not happy is because you're not doing what we're doing. Right? So there's this whole thing. But our perspective gets messed up. So think about this. If you make over $35,000 a year, okay, if you make over $35,000 a year, you are in the richest 1% of the world. So, if you make over $35,000, you are the 1%, right? The liberals for so long, the progressives, they said, the 1%, we need to tax the 1%. That's of our nation, but worldwide, over $35,000 is the 1% richest in the world. The global median salary is just over $1,200 a year. So, wow. Think about that. I'm saying this not to make us feel bad or feel like, well, we should give our money to other people and throw it. I'm saying this, we are a most blessed people. That's the point. We are highly blessed. And God does take care of us and He does provide. And so we could see that. We could look back. And lesson two, a couple weeks ago. We saw how God provided even for a widow who had nothing. Remember, she was there, the widow of, anybody remember? Widow of Zarephath, okay? She was on her last meal. And what did she expect was going to come? Death. Yeah. So he said, I'm going out, I'm going to get, I'm going to get these two sticks or something like that, two sticks, and we're going to go, we're going to make this cake, we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. Wow. What a wonderful day. I've got some plans. What you doing today? Well, I'm going to go get a couple sticks, start a fire, make a cake, and die. And he said, we're going to starve to death after that. That's what she said. But God provided for her. And look, 1 Kings 17:16. Somebody read that one.
And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah.
Okay, I want to think about this just for a second. Did that make sense? Y'all remember this story, right? We know that this pretty comes. Does that make sense? It's a magic barrel, is it not? I mean, use the word magic. Let's just use that word because it's a magic barrel. The barrel was out of oil. It was out of flour, right? out of grain. It's out. You're like, I know I scraped up the bottom. Do you think ever she was like, I'm going to watch this? I mean, I would. I'm just saying. You know, I don't know about you, but I'd be like, I'm watching this. And, you know, is somebody sneaking it in? Because we have a hard time just believing God does stuff that's supernatural. And we know what we'd do now. We'd set a time-lapse camera on it today. And we'd want to see it. I mean, the Jews always wanted to see miracles too. But imagine just watching that. Here's what happened. And here's the thing I want us to get. I want us to really grab this part. God provides when it shouldn't work. So we can be men. We can be apt to say something like, "That's never going to work. That plan, I'm not going to have enough money. How am I going to do this?" Right? We're apt to do that. We're apt to put a budget together and say, it's not going to work. I have to, watch this. I can't work, I can't be in church every Sunday. I can't tithe. Right? I can't give to missions to reach the gospel around the world. Right? I can't, give a love offering to some preacher that came in that blessed my soul. I can't do that because it's not going to work. Right? And would we be sometimes right on paper, in reality? Yeah, I got to get those extra hours. I've just, preacher, you don't know. It's just not enough. If I don't do this, it's not enough. And I get that because on paper it's true. It is true. I can't do that. It won't work. And I'm not sure how it's going to work. And by the way, I'm not just saying, amen. You went back to, we could just charge up our credit card. God will take care of it. No, what I'm saying is we can trust God. And He can provide even when it shouldn't work. That's the thing. I'm not saying God's always going to do that. If we make stupid decisions, we're going to get stupid results. Right? We make ungodly choices. God's not going to always bail us out of that. Okay, that's not the kind of thing. But when God has some things set before us that He wants us to do and that are clear in His Word and how He wants us to live and how He wants us to be with the brother and how He wants us to live our life, man, we can learn to be content in that. Can I say this? We can. What's that word I said? We can learn to be content. How do we learn to be content? What do you think? How do you learn to be satisfied?
Practicing it.
Yes, there you go. Take a step. Man, I don't know how this is going to... You ever get afraid to take a step? Because if I take that step, I got to get the whole gamut of everything involved with it, right? And you're like, if I step out on that, all of a sudden I got to carry all this weight. And it's kind of scary because you're thinking, I got to eat the whole elephant in one bite. Right? That's how we think. I've got to eat that. And that's really not how God works. It's really not how... And by the way, and I don't want to get too much on this, but in Malachi, God says, you know, try me. What did He say try me with? What is He talking about? The tithe. That's what He's talking about. They're, try me. It's one thing. God doesn't say that about everything. But He does say about the tithe, He said, try me. And God wants to, He said, see if I won't, what? Open the windows of heaven. I want you to just see, God says, I want you to just take a step. Man, if I could get anything into you and that you'd make a decision to say, I'm going to stop just doing what I've always done. You're like, well, preacher, a lot of things I've done is pretty good. Okay, keep going with those. But there ought to be something in our life. Listen to what I'm saying to you. There ought to be something in our life that we grow as we go on. Because if we're not growing, we're dying. There ought to be something that we take a step that's a little bit different. I want to take a step of faith. And I don't know what that is, and I don't want to tell you what that is for you. Spirit of God might direct you in something. We take a step to say, I want to just do this thing. I'm not going to try to eat the whole elephant, but I do want to take a bite of faith. And I want to take a bite of faith, and it's going to put me into some kind of place. And but God is going to listen. Don't let worry rob you of contentment. God has always provided for our needs, but that's not all. He promises to provide for our futures as well. Okay, look at B. Because God will provide for our futures, right? Okay, Hebrews 13:5, as we continue on, he says, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So never talks about not just in the past, but it speaks of the future as well, right? I'll never do that. The greatest provision God could give to us is his presence. That's exactly what he gives us. In fact, he promises that he will never leave us. He said, I'm going to be with you. Always. Why is it always instead of always? But in the Bible it says, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. It means, I don't know why. It's an English grammar thing. Why does it say always? But many people read it always because it feels weird, like we dropped the S. I don't know. Anyway, he's always going to be there. That's it. That's what he's given us. If we will learn to be content with Jesus alone, we will experience the peace and joy that this promise extends to us. Okay. That gift of his presence. It's one of the greatest things that God gives us. America is a nation of worriers. Right? We worry about the stock market. As the stock market flows, so does our society's security and peace. So, Pakistan, there's the Iran ceasefire agreement that's going, and as it was going, I read a news, the stock market is waiting, the financial futures and the energy prices all are balanced on what's going to happen over there, right? Well, it failed. Wow, that's surprising. The people that want to wipe us off the face of the earth don't want to have peace. Yeah, that's a shocker. But all this stuff that's going to, we worry about it. Oh, what's going to happen next? I've read other headlines that say they're going to start the draft back up. They're going to start enrolling all eligible. I'm like, man, we are a nation of warriors. Yeah. We really are. We're a nation of warriors, and we're worried about. Listen, it's not to say that we shouldn't pay attention to our finances. Okay. Or make wise investments. We ought to invest in the right thing. You know, like, but it's to say that our peace of mind should not fluctuate with our finances. You know, you got some money invested in something. You know, every day you're like, what's it doing? Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm going to, you know, it's like the fellow said, man, I'm pretty set. I've got all this money, man. I've got these stocks, man. Stock markets crash. But also somebody put their money in some other thing and it skyrockets. And there was a Ameritrade. Anybody ever heard of Ameritrade? Remember Ameritrade? When I was assistant pastor, I had to get a part-time job, but I worked for Ameritrade overnight. And so I was going in there and people, you know, yeah, some day trading, but it's people getting into the stock market. Anyway, I don't even understand it all. But when that company, Ameritrade, when they first started, the employees were paid with stock options, that type of thing. You know, and they got this. And so I don't think it was options. I think they actually were given stock every, you know. So some, you know, they that had worked there for a period of time, they had this, well, something happened, and this was long before I got there. But when I got there, what had happened, and I was told the story, what happened is overnight, Ameritrade stock jumped. I mean, ridiculously jumped. And these people that had been there cashed out and became instant millionaires. Quit the job. I don't need that job anymore. Quit the job. Instant millionaires. So sometimes it goes the other way. But, you know, what we're talking about isn't whether it's going to make you rich or it's going to make you poor. This is my contentment, and our contentment, our peace of mind, shouldn't fluctuate with the finances. So when the stock market goes down, can we tell? Can we not need to look at the NASDAQ or whatever these things are? We just watch how you come in. Brother Jonathan comes in. He's like this. We're like, oh, man, the stock market's down. Or he's coming in like this. Like, man, must be up. Yeah, it's up today. You know, like, right? You'd be like, well, wouldn't that be? You'd say, what if we can tell on you how the state of that? Wouldn't that be a problem? You become the indicator of the stock market, right, by your attitude. And so that'd be a problem, I think. We ought to always keep at the forefront of our thoughts. So we have a God in heaven who is completely in control and has promised to provide for us as we seek Him first. Somebody read for us there, Matthew 6, 30 through 33.
Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things.
So it's interesting what verse 32 says, isn't it? What does it say there? What's particular about that? Well, verse 32. Is that again, David? Yeah, the Gentiles. Now, you're like, well, we're Gentiles. Well, in this passage, when the Gentiles were speaking of who? The unsaved, those without Christ. So he said, don't do what those without Christ in their presence do. He said, when we do that, when we are taking thought, we're worried about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, how we're going to be clothed. When we are worried about our own provisions, he said, that's what those without the presence of God do. Don't be like that. It's what he's saying. Don't be like the world. So here's what he's saying. When we are discontent, when we are constantly, we are just being just like the world. And no wonder, then, when the world looks at us fretting over the same things they fret over, and we say, come follow Jesus like me, and you can have the hope of God, which we have none, because we're doing the same things that... Can you imagine somebody saying, well, why should I live with all of that on my life just so I can have the same fears and worries that you have?
Right.
This is what the Lord was saying. Don't be like them. Don't be like the world. That's how you were before. So, man, what I'm saying is there's some changes that we have to make. And this is tough. It's like, well, I've been saved for a long time. Well, I mean this in the nicest way that can be said. I do. In the most constructive way. Maybe not nice, but constructive way. If you've been saved for a long time, then live like it. Okay? Can somebody look at your life? I remember many years ago, somebody said, you ought to be able to prove your Christianity on the court of law. Prove why you believe the Bible. You're going to say you're following. I remember this was meant back when I had little kids. They say, if you're going to discipline your children, you're going to say, I do that because I whoop my kids because the Bible says it. If you're going to say that, then you imagine if you had to stand before a judge and prove why, how you believe the Word of God and everything else. And if they began to pick your life apart, would your life evidence that you really believe it, or you're just using it to do what you want to do? Right? I think that's what the Lord was saying. Our number one concern tomorrow does not need to be a bank account or our financial investments. Okay? Our main concern should be to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Our minds ought to be consumed with the thought, Lord, what would you have for me to do for you today? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay? I mean, listen, it means seeking the kingdom of God for others. Really, what it means is reaching people with Jesus Christ and His righteousness, me living away. Man, it's our message this morning. But it's this living, reaching somebody and living it. It's what He's talking talking about there in Matthew. He said, listen, don't live like them and then think you're going to reach them. 1 Kings 8:56. Can somebody read that for us? Yeah, that's it. We can live with contentment because God promises to provide for our future. And God usually keeps His promises.
Always.
God always keeps His promise. Now, here's the question. Here's the question. We're going to close with this. Do we believe that? No. Don't say, you can't say it. You can't say, I believe it. I mean, you can, but that doesn't carry any weight. Live it. We'll know if you believe it by how you live it. Right? You don't have to say it. You live it. And you know who believes this one, right? Father, I do thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for these men being here and Lord, for this study. And Lord, we maybe even more than women in our case, struggle with this thing of contentment. Lord, there's a balance, there's a challenge of us being motivated and yet also being content with what you've given us. Lord, help us to be content in you. We'd seek you, desire you, and look toward you. And Lord, realize the greatest of all this that you've given us in this world is your presence. And so we'll pray each and every one way, and we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.